Today on Off Mic, one hospital in Northwest Indiana has already announced plans to dramatically downsize. Could another follow? We talked to two Indiana state lawmakers who are trying to get answers about the future of St. Catherine Hospital in East Chicago. We also talked to one doctor who has worked at St. Catherine for decades and hear her worries about the future of the hospital, and a discussion about a new Indiana law that will give the public a new tool to get answers from not-for-profit hospitals. All this on Off Mic. Welcome to Off Mic on Lakeshore Public Radio. I'm Michael Puente, reporter with WBEZ Chicago. Recently, Franciscan Health announced that it would dramatically downsize its Hammond Hospital. It's more than 100 years old. It would reduce bed capacity from more than 200 to 8 while maintaining an emergency room department. This move hasn't sat well with Hammond Mayor Tom McDermott Jr. But now we're also finding out there could be plans to downsize St. Catherine Hospital in East Chicago, about 5 miles away. Recently, I had a chance to sit down with Indiana State Representative Earl Harris Jr. and State Senator Lonnie Randolph, both of whom represent East Chicago in the Indiana State House. They began hearing rumors about St. Catherine Hospital. Here's my conversation.
Towards the end of 2020, I started having people reach out to me in the community saying, hey, we've heard rumors. St. Catherine's going to close. It's going to become a psych hospital. Do you know about this? Have you heard about this, et cetera? And so Senator Randolph and I had a conversation, and we had a virtual meeting in December of 2020 with the CEO of St. Catherine, Leo Correa. And Senator Randolph asked him point blank in that, and I asked him as well, are there plans to close the hospital? Because this is what we're hearing from people in the community, and people have a lot of concern over that. His response to us was, no, that's not going to happen. We're building up the hospital. We're doing things with the hospital. The hospital will stay the high-level functioning hospital it's been. So we kind of walked away from that, thought everything's fine. And within the last month or so, we've been receiving more people saying they're hearing the same thing. And so Senator Randolph and I had a conversation, and I sent an email and copied Senator Randolph to the CEO, Mr. Correa, saying, hey, rumors are still continuing. People are still talking. Here's a suggestion, trying to be helpful. What if the hospital, put out a statement making it clear there are no plans to close the hospital, there are no plans to make it into a psych hospital? That would go a long way in calming the community's fears. What do you think about that? Did not hear a response. A week after that, had my legislative assistant reach out to his office, follow up to make sure he received the email, and then a day later received a voicemail from his assistant requesting a meeting between I, Mr. Correa, and the board president, Mr. Williams.
What is your concern if this hospital either was to close or sort of lessen the number of services that they have at the hospital? What are your concerns for this community?
My concerns for St. Catherine's closing is that it will be devastating to this community, to the city of East Chicago. You're talking about the only hospital in East Chicago. You're talking about health care. You're literally talking about life and death. If someone, as an example, lives here in East Chicago and has a stroke and there's not a local hospital here, that's additional time it will take to go to a hospital in Gary, a hospital in Hammond, et cetera. That's the difference between life and death.
And your district here in East Chicago has low income Black and Hispanic members.
Yeah, when you look at my district, House District 2, and that encompasses all of East Chicago, you're talking about a district that is 80 to 85% minority. That's the Black and Hispanic. You're also talking about low income, so you bring in those issues into it. As I understand it, I believe the hospital is considered a DSPRO hospital, which means that it serves low economic people, people that don't necessarily have insurance, possibly even undocumented, and that there's funding that is received because of that to assist the hospital to stay alive because it serves low income. So when you're also talking about people that are low income, being able to go and visit loved ones or take care of loved ones that are not in a local city, that puts even more pressure on people that don't necessarily have the finances.
You feel that the higher ups at the hospital should at least make some kind of public statement regarding the future of the hospital?
I would love to hear a public statement stating very clearly there are no plans to close the hospital, there are no plans to change it into something else. My follow-up response to the meeting request is that that meeting really needs to involve more than just I. Senator Randolph needs to be involved in that meeting. He is the senator that represents East Chicago. Mayor Copeland, he's the mayor of the city. I would also say council people, they need to be involved. And I'll tell you, the other group that should be involved in that conversation, if they truly are looking at closing the hospital, is the business community here in the area, in East Chicago. Businesses need to know that their people, if there's something medically bad that happens, have a close location where they can go to get care. I mean, we have a steel mill here in East Chicago. We have major industry here in East Chicago. It's important to make sure that everyone is protected in this city in terms of any kind of medical issues or emergencies.
Let me ask you this question. You're a member, you're both members of the Indiana Legislative Black Caucus, correct?
Correct.
Is this something the caucus could look into?
We actually have had some conversation this past week about that. So the Black Caucus, the entire Black Caucus knows what's going on, and there will be some follow-up related to that as well.
And then I asked longtime Indiana State Senator Lonnie Randolph his thoughts on the issue.
My concern is that it could very well be the beginning of dismantling the community, because the health is the most important factor when it comes to individuals, period. And a big part of this community for years, for decades, has been the hospital. And the city has accommodated the wishes and the needs of the hospital for years. So we made sacrifices to be able to sustain the hospital being here. And for the hospital to just jump up and close and leave, I don't know, it feels like it's like a breach of agreement, breach of a contract with the city. That's the understanding that the city has had for years. I recall, if I can go back a little bit, when Mayor Pastrick was at his peak concerning authority, as not just as mayor of the city of East Chicago, but also as a county chairman. And we had a very strong city council, and the city council president was Frankie Colensis. And the hospital wanted to expand, and wanted to expand by acquiring some property in East Chicago, which is right next to the hospital is right next to the largest park in the city, which is Washington Park. And its selling point to the city, to the mayor, and to the administration was that they wanted to better serve the residents and inhabitants of the city so they can expand and be in a better position to provide the needed services that the residents of the city of East Chicago would have. The city resisted for a long period of time. And then finally, after years of going back and forth in terms of discussions and negotiations, finally the city acquiesces. They agreed to it. They allowed the hospital to expand because they've got an extended parking lot by taking part of the park. And as a result of that, that's one of the sacrifices that the city has made concerning allowing the hospital to maintain the status as being a hospital here in the city of East Chicago. And so they've made sacrifices. So now it's time for this hospital to make sacrifices. Hospital's not there to make money anyway, and they got all kinds of different governmental programs, especially with Medicare and Medicaid reimbursement process. So there's no reason for it to relocate anywhere. And so it would be very unacceptable to me and to the residents for the hospital to say we're closing down because we can't sustain ourselves. It doesn't make any sense. Why can't you sustain yourself, especially with the government subsidies that's coming through the hospitals and everything, with health care being in a crisis, with the pandemic that's going on right now with the coronavirus? That's unacceptable. So I'm hoping that the suggestion that Representative Harris made concerning a public statement will go a long way toward recapturing the confidence of the city, of the people within the residents of the city of East Chicago concerning them staying here. And then that'll cut down on the rumors and maybe eliminate them completely and everything. And but anyway, I mean, that's my thoughts. So hopefully we'll have a meeting, and hopefully the executive, the CEOs of the respective hospital will be able to come back and say, hey, we're not closing, we're expanding, and we're looking forward to more and more decades of serving the people in the city of East Chicago and beyond, because they serve people beyond the city as well.
And that was Indiana State Senator Lonnie Randolph, preceded by State Representative Earl Harris Jr. And when we come back, we'll talk to a longtime doctor in Northwest Indiana who shares her concerns about the future of St. Catherine Hospital. Welcome back to Off Mic on Lakeshore Public Radio. I'm Michael Puente, reporter with WBEZ Chicago. Today, we are talking about healthcare in Northwest Indiana as it relates to hospitals. We have heard about the downsizing of Franciscan Health Hammond from a 200-bed facility to one that will have just 8 beds and an ER. But others are also worried about another hospital, St. Catherine Hospital in East Chicago. Dr. Paula Benchik-Abrinko spoke to me about her concerns.
And doctor, where do you practice at?
Inpatient at Community, Regency, Long-Term Acute Care Center, St. Catherine's, multiple nursing homes, and my office.
And your office is based in Whiting, Indiana?
I have an office in Whiting and also an office in Munster.
We're talking here today because you know, I've come across some information, or there's been talk in the community about issues regarding St. Catherine's Hospital. Now, how long have you worked out of St. Catherine's Hospital?
1996.
And primarily, what do you treat your patients for who go there?
I'm a general internist, internal medicine. So it's all problems of adults without any surgery and without any OB.
And generally, how would you describe the demographics of your clientele?
I would say it's a third Hispanic, a third Black, and a third White.
And are all these people insured up, or some of them have no insurance?
Some of them have no insurance. Some of them have insurance. I'm an independent, so their insurance is not something that drives me. Most of the time, I don't know if they have insurance or not when I see them.
And generally, I know you said you take care of a lot of different things. What are some of the more routine ailments or illnesses that you come across?
Diabetes, hypertension, coronary artery disease, elevated cholesterol, and the sequelae of those problems.
And because of the sort of demographic makeup of East Chicago and Whiting, would you say that's prevalent? I mean, it's usually prevalent in Hispanics and African Americans.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. All right. Now, we've been hearing about some issues regarding changes in services at St. Catherine's Hospital. Have you heard about that?
I have lived it. I haven't really heard about it. I'm not privy to talk amongst administration, but the hospital appears to be in the process of being disassembled.
What are some of the things that lead you to say that St. Catherine's is being disassembled? What are some of the actions you've come across?
Strokes are not treated there. If a stroke shows up at the hospital, they are sent to Munster. The main cardiologist that supported most of the admissions at the hospital has been terminated. They used to give chemotherapy and treat people as inpatients for, say, leukemia. Now that has been taken to Munster. There's no more pediatrics. Cardiac rehab's been downsized. The retail pharmacy used to cater to the poor, the uninsured, and the undocumented. Now the prices at the retail pharmacy are no longer competitive, so it looks as though the retail pharmacy won't last long. And it's the managers have all been fired.
And this has been, these actions have taken place over the past 6 months to a year?
Let's see. I would say probably it started maybe 18 to 24 months ago. There was a little bit before that. The nurse that ran home health, she was terminated maybe 2.5 years ago. She was escorted out. It's just person after person is gone. We've just lost the manager of surgery. During the height of COVID, the manager of the emergency department was terminated. The infection control nurse was terminated.
Wait a minute. The infection control nurse was terminated during the pandemic?
Yes. Yes. She was terminated. She still hasn't come back. And the ER was left without a manager during the pandemic. And one of the ER docs was fired in the ER. It's as though business people do not understand the medical side and treatment of medical problems. They only see the profit side.
When you say that you started to notice changes about 18 months ago, was there something that happened internally or structurally within St. Catherine or community healthcare system makeup that where the changes started to happen?
Well, Joanne Birdzell was the previous CEO, and she was absolutely fantastic. Plus, she was a nurse, so she actually had medical training. She retired, and a new CEO was hired with only business experience, and it was pretty much quiet for about maybe a year and a half, and then all of a sudden, he just started firing people.
You have a lot of patients that you see who live in East Chicago and Whiting and parts of Hammond?
Yes, yes, a majority of the practice.
What are your concerns regarding people who may be having symptoms of a stroke that they now have to be transferred to community hospital in Munster from East Chicago?
Time is of the essence, and when a stroke enters the emergency department, they need to immediately start treating it, not without anyone's knowledge, transfer them to another facility. A letter was written that stated that there was transportation that was already in place and worked out, that when a stroke came in, they would be sent to community hospital, and they did not need the attending's approval, just the ER doctor, and it was already set up. I can get you a copy of the letter.
What do you tell your patients about where should they go for care?
I tell people that if there is an emergency, you go to the closest facility. If it's not an emergency, I've been going to community hospital and have been avoiding St. Catherine's.
Are you worried of any possible ramifications of your comments regarding the hospital system?
Absolutely. I'm scared to death. It's a system that has prevailed by bullying and threats and very unprofessional treatment of doctors, nurses, pharmacists, etc.
Are medical professionals that you're aware of, and I know you can't speak for everybody, but you get a sense that they're reluctant to speak out about this?
Absolutely. They'll be fired. I'm an independent physician. I'm not an employee of the hospital. If they want to retaliate against me, they obviously can. But physicians that are employed, if they were to talk, they would be fired. I mean, they have clauses and contracts for some of the people where they can fire them with no reason. It's a bad situation. It's just when you have people whose major concern and major drive is strictly profit, and they're in the healthcare business, when you are trained to be a physician, a nurse, or a pharmacist, your primary goal is not profit. You always have to work within budgets realistically to keep a hospital functioning, but your main goal is not wealth and acquiring more wealth. It's the well-being of the patient and the patient improving.
Why do you think the hospital system is doing this?
This is kind of going on all over the place. It's happening at St. Margaret's right now. It's because instead of hospitals being run by medical professionals such as doctors, nurses, and pharmacists. It's run by businessmen with an MBA and no medical training whatsoever.
So do you believe they're putting profit before service?
Absolutely. It's called cost-effective quality. Absolutely. There's actually, for the employed physicians, they actually have production quotas they have to meet. So they have to see so many patients, and if they don't, they get reprimanded, they lose bonuses, they lose pay.
Do you know, you're saying this happens elsewhere, even beyond, of course, East Chicago. This is something that's growing more prevalent in the medical industry?
Yeah, but there's some places that are actually not just run by business people per se that are out to bully and degrade physicians and nurses, pharmacists, that they want to work as a team. When you get a team approach, it's fantastic because where the pharmacist, the doctor, and the nurse may not understand the ins and outs of some of the finer financial issues, if you work as a team, you can get quality care and still be functional as far as their profit needs. But when it's all one-sided, it becomes a disaster for the patient.
And you are worried for not only the future of the hospital, but for where the residents of East Chicago, Whiting, Hammond, where are they going to go for their medical services?
If they are not poor, it won't really impact them. They will get in their car and drive to Munster. But for the poor that don't have a car, where are they supposed to go? They have no place to go. How are they going to get somewhere? It's just really sad. It's really sad.
Why have you decided to speak out now?
I'm hoping that someone will wake up and try to save St. Catharines from almost certain demise. It's a great hospital. It's great for the poor. It seems like the poor are always left behind to fend for themselves. And when the news of St. Margaret's pulling out and doing the same thing occurred, where are these people supposed to go? There is no place to go. And you've got St. Margaret's is going to close except for 8 beds or something. And they're right across the street from community. Why do you need 2 hospitals within a quarter mile of each other when St. Margaret's North is definitely needed, St. Catharines is needed, but it predominantly supplies care to the poor.
And that was Dr. Paula Benchik-Abrinko. And we'll be back with more Off Mic. Welcome back to Off Mic on Lakeshore Public Radio. I'm Michael Puente, reporter with WBEZ Chicago. We've been talking about health care in Northwest Indiana. We know about Franciscan Health's plans to dramatically downsize its hospital in Hammond. There are also concerns about the future of St. Catherine Hospital in East Chicago. Earlier in this episode, you've heard from 2 worried state lawmakers whose district includes East Chicago, and from Dr. Paula Benchik-Abrinko, who shared her own concerns about the future of St. Catherine Hospital. I invited Community Healthcare Systems, which runs St. Catherine's Hospital, to join me on the show today to set the record straight. They declined. They did send a written statement from St. Catherine's CEO Leo Carrera. This statement was actually sent to employees on June 21st. It reads in part, St. Catherine Hospital has been a vital part of East Chicago and its neighboring communities for nearly 100 years. As a dedicated member of the community, St. Catherine Hospital continues to invest in major hospital campus improvements to serve patients and residents. St. Catherine Hospital is one of only 455 hospitals in the nation out of more than 4,000 Medicare-certified hospitals that has the highest quality 5-star rating from Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services. St. Catherine Hospital earned the 5-star rating in 2016, 2017, 2018, 2020, and 2021, and currently holds the only five-star CMS designation in Northwest Indiana. This achievement is due to the dedication, commitment, and passion of our team members who tirelessly deliver high-quality care in the most cost-efficient manner. Some of the service lines that St. Catherine Hospital has made strides in and has received honors for include cancer care, robotic surgery, stroke care, cardiology services, diabetes care, behavioral health services, emergency department. The letter goes on, but it concludes with, "Thank you to our staff for your continued passion, pride, and mission-driven dedication to deliver the highest quality care to our patients. St. Catherine Hospital remains committed to providing inpatient and outpatient services to East Chicago and the surrounding communities. The hospital is not closing, converting to a behavioral health hospital, or being sold. St. Catherine Hospital will continue to proudly serve our community and advance our mission." And that is the statement from Leo Carrera, CEO of St. Catherine Hospital, but who declined to be interviewed directly for this show. And we'll be back with more Off Mic. Welcome back to Off Mic on Lakeshore Public Radio. I'm Michael Puente. A new state law kicks in July 1st, which aims to get more information about not-for-profit hospitals to the community. The law was sponsored by Indiana State Senator Ed Charbonneau of Valparaiso. I had a chance to speak with Senator Charbonneau about the new state law that he sponsored.
How did that first come about?
Okay, the bill originally started as a bill to just get more disclosure of information to the public. And originally, as it was filed, the intent was just to have the state be in sync with what the federal government was requiring. And the reason for putting it in the state statute also was, in fact, if the federal government changed their requirements, we would still have something in the code that we could fall back on. And it started out being a very simple bill, and it was my bill. I filed it and thought I'd allow another one of the senators who was relatively new take the bill, and just so he would understand a little bit better the process and work through it once himself. And once it all got into the system, it picked up all kinds of tentacles and barnacles and became a pretty large bill, a very controversial bill. And you know, in the end, what we're trying to do is get more and more information to the public about hospital charges, hospital costs, with the hope that the public would use that information to make decisions on where they go if they find out, oh, wait a second, you know, if you know, one hospital is charging X amount, and I can go over here to another hospital and save some money, you know, make that decision. That could be wishful thinking.
What was the controversial part about it?
Well, the disclosure of information, and we have constantly be trying with various bills that we have filed over the last, I would say, 3 years in particular. We're looking at the cost of healthcare. I mean, it's rising dramatically. And you know, one of the ways that we're hoping to get that done is just providing information, as I said, for individuals. Now, it becomes very complicated because you have the insurance companies involved, and if I have good insurance with my employer, am I going to choose X hospital because I can save some money or stay with the one that I'm comfortable with? And I can understand why people would make that decision. I'm not criticizing. It's it's part of our process. Now, how do we get that information to the public? And what this bill ended up doing was requiring not-for-profit hospitals to post their certain information on a website, and also hold a public meeting to talk about, what's going on, what they're doing in the community is part of their responsibility as a not-for-profit hospital. And as you might expect, I mean, anybody would, if they didn't have to, would have a problem with doing that. And, all of the for-profit hospitals already have to do it. I mean, with their Form 990s and, it's all public information. But, we have these hospitals that are not-for-profit, paying no taxes, and it's becoming, more and more of a concern for the public.
This law would kick in July 1st?
Yes.
It's how soon, or who initiates the setting up the public meeting?
That's one thing that, we didn't get into the specifics of how it was going to happen, where it was going to happen. We just laid out three items that, they got to do it. They got to have a town hall meeting and disclose what they're doing in the community. And when you when you get to a point where a hospital is making some pretty significant decisions about access, I think is a good point. With a lot, what's going on in Northwest Indiana right now, and we see not-for-profits and for-profit hospitals building massive, beautiful locations. We can't lose sight of the fact of making sure that we serve the communities, and I think that's one of the responsibilities of a not-for-profit hospital.
And this does give a community an opportunity for more information, and just how the hospital system or the hospital that serves them, if it's nonprofit, how it's serving the community.
Yeah,
another tool.
It's another tool, and Michael, it gets back to providing the information. Now, if individuals are going to either look at that and say, "Wow, it makes a difference," and but I think one of the interesting things is going to be when they have these meetings, how are they going to be handled, who is going to be there, what kind of information are they going to be willing to share. But it's a good thing. Now, you asked about the controversy and. Yeah. And, we were going down this path yelling and screaming. And then finally, I think when people realized it's going to happen, folks said, "Well, okay, we'll do it, but you ought to make the insurance companies do it also." And we put that in there. I'm not aware of any not-for-profit insurance companies, so they have all of this stuff publicly available already, but the idea of a community meeting is going to be interesting to see how it unfolds.
But it does give it an added tool for communities they wouldn't have had this opportunity otherwise.
Yeah, Michael, you said a good word, tool, and that's what we're trying to do, and believe me, It isn't just Northwest Indiana or Indiana. The entire country is dealing with just unbelievably escalating healthcare costs. And it isn't just hospitals. It gets into medications. It gets into doctors. It gets into insurance companies. It gets into drugs, pharmacists. And when you start dealing with drugs, it's a very, just that piece of it is hugely complicated.
Let me ask you this: with your bill now, and which is now law, it's coming at a time, at least in Northwest Indiana, when we have at least one hospital that's not for profit has announced that they are drastically downsizing a existing hospital in Hammond. And now we're also getting word that another hospital system may be doing the same in East Chicago. So this comes at a time where the public is upset about this. They want answers. Theoretically, well, beyond theoretically, this bill will help them get those answers.
That's certainly my hope as we put this bill through the ringer and got it passed. And I keep coming back to, Mike, what we talked about earlier is the access to quality, affordable health care. And, you know, hospitals, like any other business, have to make decisions that are right for their organization. Now, are the decisions that are made by a not-for-profit hospital the same kinds of decisions as a for-profit hospital? Yeah, I don't know. I mean, maybe they are, maybe they aren't. But a not-for-profit hospital is to serve the benefit of the community. And it will, you know, the timing of this, like you say, is pretty incredible to have this come up and have that responsibility come July 1st in the middle of whatever they're doing.
And that was Indiana State Senator Ed Charbonneau. And we'll be back with more Off Mic. Welcome back to Off Mic on Lakeshore Public Radio. I'm Michael Puente. To wrap up this episode, I'd like to play an interview I did earlier this week with East Chicago City Councilman Robert Garcia, Kenny Monroe, and East Chicago City Clerk Rich Medina. The City Council voted this week to send a letter to St. Catherine Hospital for it to address concerns about its future. I start off my conversation with Councilman Robert Garcia.
So tell me, what was brought up and what did you say about St. Catherine's Hospital?
Just brought up my concern, referenced the rumors I hear about them closing up and how much it will hurt this community if they do that. We have a lot of industry here. We have a lot of poor people, residents here, that is a dire need that we keep St. Catherine's Hospital. It's been here. It's been a staple of East Chicago.
And what do you intend to do?
Right now, there's a letter going from the council as a whole to St. Catherine's Hospital to talk to them to see what the concerns are or if the rumors are right or not.
What's your feelings on this?
Oh, it's going to hurt the community for sure, and Chicago needs their own hospital. So we're going to just work on some things and see what we can do about it.
And have you been hearing things out in your community?
Yeah, I'm quite sure everybody in Chicago been hearing about it. It's a big subject.
What have you been hearing?
Well, the rumors are that we need the hospital and don't want to go anyplace else. So the closest thing to Chicago is East St. Catherine's.
So you're going to be sending a letter to the CEO of St. Catherine's?
Yes. It'll be going to the CEO, seeing what the concerns are and if it's true or not, and if there's anything else that we could do to help keep them here in the city.
City Clerk, you want to say anything?
Nothing other than to echo what the gentleman here have already said. The council president has reached out to the chairman of St. Catherine's and has not received a reply. He's requesting to have a sit-down with them and, you know, have some dialogue. Instead of listening to rumors, we'd like to get, the council would like to get some more precise answers and you know, find out what is the future of the hospital, because it's going to reflect what the future of our community is.
Hey, are you hearing some of those same rumors?
Oh, absolutely. And everything's just rumors right now. So if we can get some concrete answers and some facts, because the fact is the community needs St. Catharines. Rumors that they're going to close, again, there are rumors until the council has a sit-down with the CEO and those from the hospital.
And is there a date? You like to have some sort of meeting with them, public meeting?
Yes, if we can.
Yeah, what a reason, so that we can go back to the community and tell them the facts instead of the rumors.
And that is all the time we have for this episode. You can hear this episode again as a podcast by visiting lakeshorepublicradio.org. I'd like to wish you a very pleasant 4th of July weekend. Stay healthy and stay safe.